There has never been in the history of LSU, in the history of college football, a coach who has more leverage than Lane Kiffin does right now. For a guy who has never been to a college football playoff, and guess what? He is the man for the job. He has been my number one candidate, honestly, for years now. And if LSU gets it done, this will be one of the more impressive coaching searches in the middle of a circus if LSU is able to close the deal. And we need to have our Mariano Rivera cut fastball ready to go to get Lane to sign the bottom line, baby. Get that dotted line signed, Lane freaking Kiffin. Call in any closers you need, LSU. If you got to take them to the supper club, take them to the supper club. If you got to take them to Mary Lee Donuts, take them to Mary Lee Donuts. I don't care how this is going to go down, but it needs to go down. Or does it? We're going to talk about all of that. We rarely go live on Monday night. And we're going to have a very special guest. The man who hid in the bushes to track the plane today that set all of this firestorm off. So we do have a PHLer who works in the aviation business. And this morning he did send me the flight tracker. And like many others, I felt as if it was just a bunch of malarkey. You know, you get sent the plane trackers all the freaking time. And normally it's just businessmen going to conduct business because rich people don't care about the environment. They care about getting to places as fast as they possibly can. And for me, it was true. There was a plane that left Oxford today to go to Baton Rouge, and it had some of Lane Kiffin's key family members. His son, Knox Kiffin, who, of course, is a pretty good high school quarterback recruit. He's been making Power Four visits. He even visited LSU earlier this year. Of course, you have, to me, maybe the single most important person in all of this, which is Landry Kiffin, who is the daughter of Lane Kiffin, who dates LSU linebacker Whit Weeks. She also made the trip to Baton Rouge. And then you have Lane's ex-wife, who also made the trip to Baton Rouge. So, look, there was a similar trip to Gainesville, Florida, where you also had a very weird situation where the governor of Florida was randomly at an Ole Miss game this past weekend. And then, of course, in the middle of all of this, while there is true boots on the ground today in Baton Rouge, from the Kiffin DNA tree, Lane Kiffin is tweeting as if everything is normal. And we're now having national reports where the Ole Miss media corps is saying, and not only the Ole Miss media corps, I'm talking about like Andy, not Andy Staples, but Stuart Mandel of Sports Illustrated. They're out there saying, hey, Lane Kiffin, you have an ultimatum per the Ole Miss powers that be. You have to decide whether you want to stay here or whether you are going to go elsewhere. So if you were to ask me right now, will Lane Kiffin actually sign with LSU? I would put 50% chances that Lane Kiffin signs with LSU and then 25 and 25 on Florida and Ole Miss. This feels like actually a traditional high school football recruitment, right? Not how high school football recruiting works now, where, you know, if you're the highest bidder, you're going to win out on a good chunk of recruits. It feels as if the last visit is the most important visit. So we were the last visit, all right? Lane, not himself, boots on the ground in Baton Rouge, but his family. And there's a lot of different things at play here. Of course, there is Knox Kiffin, and there is a pretty prominent high school football program in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that does produce pretty high-level high school football recruits. And by produce, I mean they do a good job of getting them on their campus. Lamar Brown will tell you that, which is U-High, right? So obviously, the young man could go to U-High and play quarterback there. I do think that that is a role. I don't think that that is necessarily as important as some people have put out there. But it is something, right? Because I would also like to point out that the young man is at a good program at Oxford High School in Mississippi. I do think this is ultimately going to be a Lane Kiffin decision. Now, Lane will heavily rely on his family to make this decision, and I do think he will factor in some of their concerns and whatnot. But I will also say, that I do think Lane Kiffin, by people who are close to him, are advising him to go to LSU. You were to look at LSU, you were to look at Florida, I do think LSU is a better job. If you were to look at Lane Kiffin's family history, Florida would make more sense, how much he idolizes Steve Spurrier, how much he idolizes his father, who passed away, obviously Monty Kiffin, who created the Tampa 2 defense in Tampa Bay. Lane Kiffin, of course, coached at FAU, so he knows the lay of the land there. And he is a visor wearer, which, of course, is very popular in Florida from the Spurrier days. But for me, I'm not Mr. Insider. I'm never going to be the one that breaks the absolute massive story. I'm not going to be the first that says Lane Kiffin signs with LSU, because a lot of people get duped that way. But I would also tell you this, that you should feel pretty good about where we are right now, okay? And I know a lot of people in Florida felt pretty good about it, which was an obscure situation that Lane Kiffin was in this past weekend. But I am of the belief that LSU is very much in this. Now, we could all be played for fools here, because Lane is tweeting very happily about Ole Miss. He could just be driving up his own price to stay there. Obviously, we are dealing with Jimmy Sexton, who is the single most powerful person in all of college football. Sexton could have obviously orchestrated all of this. I don't think that is necessarily the case here. I think Lane is a guy who loves the dramatics. I also think he is someone who is relishing the spotlight here. Okay, so I do feel like LSU went in a pretty good direction with this today. I would still put it right now, LSU at 50, Ole Miss at 25, Florida at 25. So take that for what it's worth. That'll probably lower by tomorrow. And my only advice to LSU is just let the man make his decision. Okay? Let's not do any interviews from any of you-know-who who could obviously lead this into a different direction. Let's just let Lane make his decision, because this is also important. As much as I am pro Lane Kiffin being the guy at LSU, I also want to point out that this is still a premier job, and it's not a thing where we absolutely positively need this one person to make this job work. There are a lot of people who can come here right now and win big at LSU. I think there are plenty of names in the SEC that would heavily consider coming to LSU and trying to make it work to win a national championship here. And obviously those names would be guys like Clark Lee, Josh Heupel, Elijah Drinkwitz. I think all three of those guys could come in and help LSU win in a major way pretty quickly. But for me, I really want this Lane Kiffin thing to happen. I really, really, really do. Now, one major thing that would very much help LSU in all of this is that you do play Ole Miss every season. That is one of your three permanents. So a minor thing, but also a major thing, is that not only are you bringing Lane Kiffin over, you are weakening one of those opponents that you do play every season. Another thing that I have heard from the Ole Miss side of things is that you do begin to question, how does Ole Miss feel about this in terms of their players and their fans? Because the Ole Miss side of this probably feels jilted, but I do think the Ole Miss players are going to want Lane Kiffin to finish out the season coaching their team. And I do think the Ole Miss players like Lane Kiffin more than they do like Ole Miss. Remember, this is a different era. The thing to me that is the major difference between LSU and Ole Miss is that Ole Miss is truly Lane Kiffin's program. And I would tell Lane Kiffin this to his face. That is your program, right? At LSU, you're joining a pretty long list of successful coaches who have won national championships here. Ole Miss is your thing, right? So You have a very good thing going on there. Even though I want you to come here, I want you to really come here. I want you to really understand what it is to be an LSU Tiger. Because look, I do think as talented of a coach as Lane Kiffin is, I really want him to look at himself in the mirror and really be able to turn the page from what you did in Oxford. Because what you did in Oxford is legendary. Winning 10 games, three separate times, three completely different rosters. It is incredible what he's done there. You will always be remembered for what you did at Ole Miss. But I want you to come to LSU because you want to be an LSU Tiger, not just because you want to come here to win a national championship, because I want everyone to listen to me very closely. Whoever you are watching this right now, and I promise we're going to get to all the Super Chats and members, we're getting a bunch of them here. We cannot sit here and say, yeah, Lane Kiffin this. We want Lane Kiffin to be the coach at LSU. No, we want Lane to be a Tiger. We want Lane to really have his blood turn purple and gold when he gets here. Because what if all these former players, what if all of you said that we need to reestablish what makes LSU great, which is our culture, our physicality, our toughness, people that would do anything to play for LSU? Because if you're coming here just for yourself to win a national championship, you're coming here for the wrong reasons. What makes the LSU job great are the people, what we've done in the past, and what we're going to do in the future. So I really want Lane, if he's coming here, to really want to be an LSU Tiger and not look at this as, well, this job I think is just better than the other job. No, come here because you want to be one of us. Okay. Now, let's get to as many supers and all of that. Thank you so much, Decker, for joining our membership program. And we say hi to Yusha. Thank you for the super chat. And we say hi to Sourdough Man. I'm hoping Lane comes after the Egg Bowl in an LSU shirt and a Gator visor. You know, Sourdough loves the trolling. I don't. I just want you to pick LSU. But I also want you to be here. I want you to really enjoy yourself in purple and gold. Because look, whether or not you like Les Miles, he freaking loved LSU. You don't need me to say the same thing about Ed Orgeron, because that would be an insult to say that Ed Orgeron loved LSU. He adored it. Brian Kelly didn't love it. It was just another stop for his own personal journey to be a national champion. LSU is truly an all-in job. It really is. It's not a clock in, clock out. We need you to come here and win games. You've got to really want to be a part of this culture. And I hope Lane really does want to be a part of it. Okay. Now, I go back to what, and William, thank you for the super chat as well. A few things I would say, all right? One minor note in this, and it actually is major for 2026, okay? You could theoretically come to terms with this. It's pretty clear if you really just logically think this through. But there is a lot of infrastructure for LSU to immediately hit the ground running with Lane Kiffin next season. Frank Wilson has worked with Lane. Austin Thomas is a Lane Kiffin guy as well. You can get some ball. You can get some balls rolling pretty quickly. We know Lane could work the portal. Honestly, as good, if not better, than anyone. They had by far the best portal class last season. This season, another great portal class. They've gotten more out of it than we've gotten out of ours. But, you know, one thing is Whit Weeks could come back. I think a lot of us are already penciling in Whit Weeks to go to the NFL draft. Well, it's more than just the Landry Kiffin side of things, which, of course, we mentioned Whit and Landry dating. Now, I will also say I don't know a gazillion percent at this point because college relationships are what they are. I don't know if they're together now, but I do think that they are. And I do think Lane could heavily sway Whit Weeks coming back next season, which, you know, makes us a true national championship contender if we can land some other guys in the portal. Now, what are some cons to this? Well, with every coaching move and every move in life, you have to factor in cost. Now, the good thing about college football is that there are no salary caps, and for coach salaries, it could be truly uncapped. So whatever anyone out there is paying for Lane Kiffin to come here, it's not our worry, right? It doesn't count against a hard number that, you know, we can or cannot spend. The money theoretically is infinite. So it's not quite the same as, hey, we're giving Trevor Lawrence $55 million of our salary cap and he's not that good, so it really hurts the team or whatever. And the Jaguars are good this year. It's not the best example, but you get the gist of it, right? So he would be very expensive. Lane Kiffin would be a lot of money. Would he be open to taking a very incentive laden deal where you get a base salary of, let's say, $10 million a year, and if you make the college football playoff, we will give you $4 million, which is what pretty much every team that makes a playoff actually gets, or at least that's my understanding of how it works. So would you be willing to give him a little less guaranteed money, but give him truly a ridiculous sum of money when it comes to incentives? Would he be open to something like that? Would he want more guaranteed money? Is there a part of the LSU deal that we are giving him potentially compared to what the Florida deal was? Are we giving him a better financial deal? So another thing is, if he does come in, you would truly need to give him some major autonomy of the program. So what would he want to do for his staff? Well, you know, the OC hire isn't as important. You would think that Weiss would come over with them. I don't think Ole Miss would go with Weiss. I think Ole Miss would look at quite a few different coaches. I think I could easily see them going after one of these big G4 names. I could see Alex Golsh winning pretty well at Ole Miss. I could see John Summerall winning at Ole Miss or Auburn or at any of these LSU or SEC jobs. So, you know, I could see all those different things coming down the pipeline here. Okay, let's go here. Welcome to the channel, JV Branton. Get the governor out of it and hire the man and let him run it alone. Everybody, welcome JV Branton to the channel. Okay. Lars has already offered to pay Knox Kiffin his first year NIL salary at U High. Okay. Randy is already recruiting Lane's son to play quarterback at Catholic High. That could also happen. All right. It's going to Anthony. Welcome to the channel. The LSU fan base will embrace you as much as you embrace us. There you go. Maybe Lane just wants to live in Florida more than Louisiana or Mississippi. Gant says, let's hear from the Bush guy. Well, he should be coming on. Should be on pretty soon. Okay. Oh, that's actually my fault. I didn't send him the invite link. That's on me. Huh? I actually sent it to him, I think, from the wrong account. All right. Now, next thing. Where could LSU go if this does not work out? There's a lot of different directions you can go. I want to go back to something I actually do agree with, and it comes from Josh Pate. A lot of us, I think for the most part, likes Josh Pate. I don't think Josh Pate is truly a hot take artist where he really, you know, gives you an opinion that is truly controversial. I think it's just a pretty fair college football analyst. I think I'm probably a little bit more hot takey than him, but whatever the case may be, I want you to hear what Josh Pate had to say about the LSU job. And I don't have the clip pulled up, but I'll just tell you a paraphrase. He truly thinks there are 20 to 30 coaches out there that could win at LSU. And I agree with him. I think there are so many talented coaches out there that could make it work here from all different backgrounds and coaching types, offensive, defensive, anything. Position coaches, I think a lot of different coaches can make it work here. So one thing I would heavily advise LSU to do, if Lane Kiffin leaves them at the altar, which there is a high likelihood of that happening, you need to look at yourself and say, do we really need to spend big for a coach to come here to win big at LSU? And the answer to that is probably no. Your NIL is very, very, very important to make stuff work. You've got to have the roster to make it work. I have said plenty of times I would heavily reconsider how I pay my assistants, everything. So, you know, I do think for me, and I've always kind of had that opinion, that a lot of different coaches could make it work at LSU. They could. We say out here, what's happening, Unc? Okay, Booker's Rebirth says a lot of smoke that Texas may open up. That was started today by Desmond Howard. So I don't know. I've seen crazier things in the cycle. Now, as far as Texas opening up, who would take that job? Anybody. Anybody. Okay. Congrats to the LSU women's basketball team for winning big over Tulane. I know that's what a lot of you are wanting to hear. But I am sky high on Kim Mulkey's team this year. Okay? Now, if you don't like coaching search stuff and you only want me to do film studies and shut the hell up and you break down college football film, I wish it was like that. But I love doing this as much, if not more. But if you want to watch every single play of Michael Van Buren's film study, I broke it down earlier today. Stayed up until 2 a.m. at my aunt's house. Drove all the way back, basically on phone calls all day. I've shared most of the info that I have. But how about somebody that was actually boots on the ground in Baton Rouge, Louisiana? We'll talk to him here in just a second. But a quick break here first. Now, something really cool happened to me today. I got to drive and tour Laborde Therapy, one of their locations today. It was so much fun. Got to have lunch with Philip at Laborde Therapy, one of five locations in the Lafayette region. Let's go!
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaboredTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaboredTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaboredTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
All righty, his name is Shane Johnson. AllThingsGo.com. The website servers were not ready for what AllThingsGo.com did to them today. Holy crap. Shane, this is some Pulitzer Prize winning journalism, if you ask me. So Shane, what did you see today? Walk us through Shane's day for breaking the biggest story in college football today.
Well, this is a normal day. I was just chilling at work. Shout out to the Balcony Bengals. I'm in a group message with a bunch of them. And it was approaching my lunch break, and we were talking about the flight that was supposedly coming to the MMR hangar at Baton Rouge Airport. And kind of jokingly, we were talking about somebody should go. Well, I don't work too far from there. So just got in my car and went to the airport, pulled over to the MMR hangar pretty close to it, and just sat there for about 15 minutes. We had the aircraft registration number ready to go. Saw the plane land, you know, checked the number, made sure that was it, and the rest was pretty much history.
And what did you see?
Well, I mean, the plane sat there for a little bit. They had the carpet ready, already rolled out. They pulled up to it. First, I saw two ladies get out the car, which was later confirmed to be, I believe, Layla and Chris Kiffin's wife. And then I saw two younger kids get out the car, which I think was Chris Kiffin's kids. And then Chris Kiffin got out. Plane. Chris Kiffin got out the plane. And then another man got out like 15 minutes later, followed him in. I don't know if he was anybody, but the family all got out together. They went through MMR, and then assuming they went out the front into an SUV and left.
And just for confirmation, you did not see Lane Kiffin there today?
No, I can't confirm that I saw Lane Kiffin there today.
Because there's some people saying, hey, there was a 6'3 guy that walked out later. I've tried to a gazillion percent confirm if Lane was there or not. I could not get a gazillion percent answer, but
yeah,
it's probably no. Probably.
Yeah, probably okay. No. I would say if he was there, he was already there in the SUV. Right. You know, okay, camping somewhere else.
And where did they go? Do you have any idea?
No. So I've heard from a few people that they ended the night at Stabs over on Jefferson. And that's why they were a little late to get back to the airport. And the plane left a few minutes later than it was supposed to. And apparently the meeting with the board was at Stabs on Jefferson going around 6 o'clock or ending around 6 o'clock.
Okay. So what I want to do is pull up your page here. Before we get to how the plane left, are there any other details from when you were there that stood out to you?
No, nothing confirmed. I did see a truck and a man that possibly looked somewhat like Virg Osbury, but that's just a complete assumption on my part. I did see a truck. I don't know what he drives, but I did see that. And then there was definitely another man that got off the plane 10 to 15 minutes later, like I said, and then went inside. And he was wearing a jacket. He took the jacket off, and he had a polo on underneath. And a lot of people were commenting on that, saying he was wearing jorts. It was not jorts. It was just blue shorts of some sort. But that's the only kind of controversial figure that we don't know who it is.
What are you feeling through your body when all of this happens? I mean, were you hiding in a bush? How did this even, or did you just walk up to the fence?
I mean, I was wearing a ghillie suit. But no, I mean, really, it was crazy. There was nobody there, really. There was some people that were moving a fridge right in front of me. Like, nothing was going on. It was, like, super low-key, casual. It was as close as I could get while still having, like, a decent vantage point. I know the photos look terrible. A lot of people were saying I was using a potato and all that stuff. But it was, like, zoomed into the max on my phone. You know, I could have probably gotten a little bit better of a shot and stuff, but I wasn't prepared to go. Like I said, it was, like, on a whim. I just decided to go to the airport and texting with buddies in a group message about it, and it all went on from there.
And then you have the SUV here, and then you have the plane taken off.
Yep. So,
go on it.
So the only weird thing about the leaving was the plane was in the hangar, and the SUV pulled into the hangar, and it was only me and WBRZ where we were. filming. There, no one else was there, and pulled into the hangar, basically kind of making it where you can tell that they didn't want to be seen again. So, I mean, this is a complete assumption, but hypothetically, if Lane was here, like we said a minute ago, he was already here, might have flew into New Orleans or somewhere else and got in the car and went up there, picked his family up, or, well, was with whoever picked his family up, and he could have been in the plane going back, and that's why they pulled into the hangar. That's just a complete, you know, guess on my part. I don't think he was here, but that's a possibility, because they definitely did not want to be seen, and they knew that people saw him coming in.
If you were to give a percentage chance, now that you've gotten to see the body language, Shane, what do you think Lane Kiffin is going to do?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question right there.
This is your chance, Shane. Call your shot, man.
I mean, I think he's got to make a decision by the end of the weekend. Yeah, I think we're going to know something there. At this point, I don't see – you've driven up the price enough. I don't see any reason why you don't just say, I'm staying at Ole Miss if you're staying at Ole Miss at this point, because it is a distraction and you are starting to burn bridges. But so with that, I think he's got to go to Florida or to LSU. And that's the million-dollar question. There is a lot of talk about a house being sold in Gainesville tonight. The papers were signed and everything. Oh, I don't know how much truth there is to that or anything. Apparently it was Dan Mullen's house. That is a rumor going around, but right now I would say I'd give it, I don't know, 40-40-20, 40-40 LSU Florida and 20% Ole Miss.
Interesting. So you're leaning towards him going there. I do think he will be coaching elsewhere. Outside of Ole Miss, just based on what I've known. Now, once again, as you know, Shane, I don't know how familiar you are with Power Hour LSU or anything like that. I'm not an insider. I'm not Mr. Journalism. You put boots on the ground, young man, and you did some capital J journalism. And for that, dude, I really do appreciate you. Your thoughts on LSU football as a whole?
I mean, we're in a sad space, but in today's day and age, it's a quick fix. If you get the right people in place, it's a quick fix. You can be back competing for the playoff spot next year with the right guy. I do think the deadlines are important with the early signing period, transfer portal, all that stuff. But, I mean, I think seeing the post game after Arkansas, I think that was very encouraging, seeing the excitement and everything. I think the morale isn't as low as it possibly, like, you know, it could be a lot worse right now. The morale still seems okay. Players were really happy to get that win for Frank and everything. So I'm hoping that stuff gets solved quickly and you don't see a mass exodus like you possibly could if you don't take care of business here.
And what are your goals with your blog? I mean, what do you want to do with the LSU media? How long have you been doing this?
I mean, it's kind of been an on and off thing for a couple years. Really started taking it more serious the last 6 months or so. We got media credentials for basketball now, so we're covering.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Yeah.
So covering basketball now. So we'll see. We hopefully can build off of that and go from there and see what happens.
People are calling you out. Someone called you Sean. I won't say what the female viewer in here, Courtney, said. Is she heading in the right direction?
I can't even see the comments.
Oh, you can't even see it. Courtney said she saw you doing the capital J journalism. So there you go. That's good. Damn, people are out there seeing you. Courtney, yeah. Welcome to the channel. Good to see you. Let's see. The house that was sold today in Gainesville is right down the road from the AD Scott Strickland.
Yeah, this is a little spooky.
Yeah. This would be, I do think Lane going to Florida would be the ultimate price driver upper for toying with LSU here. So there you go. I don't know if I should feel better now that you've come on here as far as LSU's chances of landing Lane Kiffin, because that's what I want them to do. I want Lane Kiffin to be the guy. Mm-hmm. And then my final thing for you, Shane, how do you feel about all this? You know, there's going to be, and some people in the chat have said, dude, this is so weird. You're trying to track the planes. I mean, did you ever envision yourself in doing all of this? And how do you personally feel about the work you did today that caught, that really set off a firestorm on Twitter.com?
I mean, I don't think it's weird because it's so public and someone else was going to do it if I didn't do it. I would think it was weird if I like plotted this for weeks and stuff like that, but it was just a on the whim thing. And so I don't think it's weird, but I definitely get how people would say that. I also know that there's so much like hatred going around between the fan bases and stuff. You're going to see a lot of stuff from other people just because they're mad about what they're seeing. So, I don't think it was weird at all, to be honest with you. I thought it was kind of funny. And then on the message boards and stuff, it was blowing up and I got a billion nicknames today. Got told my phone was a potato, got called a airport guy. That's a new nickname for me. So got a lot of stuff going on from today, but I definitely didn't expect it to blow up.
Hold on, Shane. I'm calling BS on that.
Well, I didn't expect it to blow up in the amount it did. I was actually there and had the photos.
Shane, stop. You knew, you had to have known during flight tracker college football coaching season, once you got this Zapruder film level coverage, and I'm not the one complaining about camera quality because, well, and I want to also share this. I've done a flight tracker thing before. And it worked out. I was able to track down Nick Saban for an interview. Did it feel weird? Yeah, it felt weird. Yeah. Okay. But it was worth it. I got a good interview from him. And I'm on your side in all of this. But I am going to call you out and saying you knew that this was going to blow up. You knew it. You had to know.
I didn't think it was going to blow up in the way it did, especially now, like the way Twitter algorithms and everything work. You know, you can do stuff and not even get seen. It just depends. But I do have a good buddy who's a pretty prominent figure who helped me out tonight in getting seen. I think that's actually how you saw my post or you replied.
No. Okay. So I know this buddy. It's Ben Mintz. Ben and I have been friends for a very long time. Actually, I didn't. I saw it on your thing. It just popped up on my phone. I didn't see the leaving footage from yours until Mintz. Hand on the Bible. That's not how I saw you way earlier in the day.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it really blew up. And the thing that was tough for me is I was traveling back from Baton Rouge today. So I wasn't able to really consume as much, but my phone was blowing up with your messages with like, dude, this guy is actually seeing it. In fact, one of it wasn't even a guy into football. He's just a fan into just media stuff. And he knows I'm a media nerd. And I love the fact that we have people out there doing citizen journalism, right? You don't, you didn't go to school for, did you go to LSU or what's?
No. Okay. I work at a plant. Like I said, I was on my lunch break. Yep.
Yeah. I like it, man. Grant says, make Shane the AD.
Oh yeah. Yep. That sounds good. I appreciate that, Gant.
Yeah. Spitting Chicklets hat there. So you're a hockey guy.
Oh, yeah. Big hockey guy. Got a St. Louis Blues tattoo right there.
It's a sad. No, dude. Sad sport. It's just, it's not even a sport. It's not even a real. No, I'm just kidding. I have a lot of respect. I will say, when LSU had a hockey team, or does LSU still have a hockey team?
It's like not a varsity sport. Yeah, but they have a club team. Yeah,
I did get to go cover a few of their hockey games, and it's a lot better in person. I'm sure people tell you as a big hockey fan all the time, it sucks Do you get that a lot or?
No, not really. I feel like
Okay.
it's a type of game. It's so fast paced and everything that you can kind of just turn it on and it's entertaining. You might not know all the rules at first and stuff like that. Like everyone wants to ask, like, how does icing work and stuff like that. But you can turn it on and it's nonstop. You know, it's like basketball where it's something's happening every play. So it's easy to watch, I feel like. I don't get a lot of that it sucks. I think it's growing a lot. So
Yeah.
probably 10, 15 years ago, you probably got more of that, but not so much today.
I'm a Golden Knights fan, by
Okay.
the way. Let's see the
Okay.
phone, or is the phone what you're on right now?
The phone's what I'm on. Yeah. Yep. So this is the potato.
So you could see,
Yep.
as someone who did his show from Tiger Stadium on my phone, yeah, what your typical iPhone phone.
Yeah.
So how far away were you from, like, how far would you say, probably a 300 yards, or what would you say?
Yeah, at least 300 yards, 300 to 500 yards away. It was like a parking lot that I was in, and I could have got a little closer, but there was a building in the way, and I could only see part of the runway. So I wanted to scoot back, and everything happened so fast, and I didn't want to miss it that I could have probably moved, but I didn't want to miss anything. So I just kept filming from there. And then it was like my phone was going in and out of focus, and I would get pictures that just looked like total crap and everything. And I was sending them. I actually had everything for probably 15 or 20 minutes before I posted it on anything. I actually sent it to
Really?
the group. Yeah, the Balcony Bengals group. And so they were all going crazy and everything, and went on from there.
Well, great stuff today, Shane. Before I skedaddle, was there anything else that you would like to get off your chest regarding this whole ordeal that I did not ask about?
No, the only thing is, like I said, I do have pretty good source on this stuff, and I've heard that the Drinkwitz stuff is real and a legitimate backup option. Not saying whether or not I would like that or not, but that is what I've heard from my guy, and that's all I know as far as that goes.
Just a quick follow-up on that. Is it LSU's interest in Drinkwitz or vice versa?
I think it's both. And I think that they view it as such a easy backup plan that he's fine with being the second option whenever that would offend some guys. Which, I mean, I think he should be fine with being the second option compared to who he's, you know, talking or compared against. But I mean, I know that he wants out of Missouri, from what I've heard. So he's been putting his name everywhere. So we'll see. But I have heard that he is a legitimate backup option. Whether he's number two or not, I don't know. But he's number three or number four if he's not number two.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like the floor is high. You're not gonna suck. You're gonna be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
He's proven to make good hires in his time at Mizzou. He can put a staff together. I kind of feel like people would be a lot higher on it if he didn't look the way he did. Like Drinkwitz does kind of have a little bit of swagger, but when you see a picture of him, you don't think that. And I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't think his ceiling is as high as some other guys, but I think he's a safer hire. And he's young, so if he hits for a long time. So that's a positive. I mean, that's just me trying to sell myself on it. There's definitely guys that I would have higher.
Like who?
Like realistically, I would rather go John Summerall. I mean, that's
Over,
risky, but
wait, hold on. You would take him over Drinkwitz?
yep. I think so. Just for the simple fact, I think it's a lower floor but a higher ceiling. I mean, a lot of people bring up Kenny Dillingham. I don't know. Kenny Dillingham would scare me, But at the same time, I think his ceiling is intriguing. It's a lot of guys with a lot of like high ceilings, and I kind of that scares me and makes me excited at the same time. I kind of feel like that's what Florida's been doing for a while outside of Mullen with their hires. They've been going high potential guys and they just haven't hit. And obviously you don't want to wind up like them for the last however long since Urban, really. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether or not you would pull the trigger on a coordinator or a guy like Kelvin Shepherd. That would be really exciting.
Yeah.
It'd be very scary at the same time, but it'd be really exciting. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I just want the fan base to be behind whoever it is and give them a fair shot, which that's another thing about Drinkwitz. I don't think he gets a fair shot. I think everyone's pissed off about the hire, and he starts behind the eight ball as far as that goes.
And why do you think that?
I just think, you know, his record against top 25 at Mizzou, he can beat everybody he's better than, but never beats anybody that he's not, type of thing.
Yeah, and I could poke a lot of holes into that too. I mean, he beat Ohio State.
Well, in a bowl game.
Yeah, but I mean, he still did it. If you would have told me, and I understand Ohio State had opt outs, but if you were to tell me, hey, they were going to physically manhandle even Ohio State's backups, hell, that's pretty damn impressive if you ask me. I mean, look, what is Cody Schrader exactly before Eli Drinkwitz? You know, Cody Schrader looked like the best running back in college football. I mean, he's not, you know, some transcendent talent. The year before, he really didn't set the world on fire either. So right. Him and Coach Moore, like you said, know how to run the football. Well, what is every single LSU person out there that's followed LSU football for decades, what have they been bitching and moaning about the most? We got to find a way to run the football. Well, that's the case. Lane would be your number one guy, but Drink would probably be your number two guy with the running backs that, I mean, obviously Ahmad Hardy's going to be a big-time pro, but, I mean, it's not like they're handing the football off to Jeremiah Love or anything like that back there. So I'm with you on that, Shane. I would like Shane Beamer. And another thing is, and I've shared this before, I don't know Shane, never met him before, but he did coach in Arkansas. I know quite a few people that know him. A big thing about the LSU job is Arkansas is still on the schedule, and he hates Arkansas. He just, there's not a coach in the SEC that hates another school more than Shane Beamer hates Arkansas. So that would be something he would want to probably keep on his schedule every year. And now he's going to get to beat Arkansas with the school that does beat Arkansas every year, and he's going to have better players doing it. So I would be in on it. It is interesting that you bring it up. You're not the only one that has said that, though. You're backed up on that from others. Okay. But there you go, Shane, we appreciate all your time and your energy and effort today. Your sweat equity that you built up into your reporting, and just know I have your back, man. There's going to be people out there that are going to say, well, this is just stupid out there chasing planes and all of it. Shut up, people. Shut up. Come see me about that. Because guess what he did? Guess what he did? Did this report, and let's bring this back. For the initial report, you were the only one out there, correct?
Yeah. Earlier today, I was the only one out there. It was me and two people moving a fridge.
And what were the two people moving the fridge doing?
Not even looking.
Not even looking. Yeah. Just going on with their life. They're probably sitting at home cracking a beer, and they're probably like, what is this? I just opened up this PBR and I see the guy. I didn't know he was breaking the biggest story of the day. And guess what happened? Guess what happened, Shane? One of the biggest capital J journalism organizations in Baton Rouge, they sent a reporter out there to be right next to you as well. So actual people that do journalism, it's like, you know what? We're actually going to do what Shane did today. We're going to send some reporters out there. And BRZ was out there. Was anyone else there?
No, as far as I know, it was just the two of us. The guy had a tripod set up when I pulled up. I actually wasn't even planning on going there this evening, but then I got in traffic on the way home, and I just said, you know what, I'm going to go back. And
yes.
I was planning on going back initially. I went in academy to get binoculars.
What?
And then the group message was like, ah, it's not worth going back. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to go home. Got in my car, got in traffic. And I was like, actually, whatever. I'm just going back. And I should have got the binoculars. But I wouldn't have seen anything tonight. So I guess it's a good thing.
It is ironic. It is ironic, though, because there is a reporter who I actually talked to on the phone this off season, who actually made a I'm going to send you this later, Shane. It was he got on his back and started shooting a football practice from far away. He put the binoculars over his phone. Did you see this?
No.
Okay, I'll send it to you a little bit later. And that would have been you, because the video he took was of Bucky Irving practicing, because people were trying to figure out if Bucky Irving was practicing again. And someone took a photo of him. He was literally lying down and holding it up like this. And it was that could have been you with the binoculars over the phone.
Yeah, but, no kidding. Yes. In the bush.
I love it, Shane. Well, if you need anything, man, let me know. Thank you for joining our lovely audience. Make sure you go. We've seen a few people out there saying from this this live stream that you went to go follow it. You can read the report for yourself. All Things Go. That's GEAUX.com. Shane, we'll have you on again pretty soon. Keep up the good work, brother.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, but so there you go. The man was there. Okay. Now, once again. So this was texted to me by someone who is a national insider. Okay. They feel that, let me make sure I'm getting this right. They feel that most of the people around Lane are telling him to go to LSU. Okay. They feel that way. Okay. Now, I do want to touch on a few other stories. And I'm reading all the national other insiders here. This is one, and I read Ross Dellinger every day. I read his Twitter feed, read his stories. I know Ross not well, but we're friends. And he said, there was a power conference presentation today in Charlotte from the Big Ten on a 24-team college football playoff format. Okay? Which would kill the sport. There would need to be major wholesale changes to the sport surrounding the schedule for that to be something that would make sense. Now, as is always the case with any type of playoff or realignment report, things move slowly regarding this. I will say, of the national college football reporters, and I one day want to host a major national show, but of all the ones who I follow religiously, Ross has been on top more so than anyone else regarding schedule changes and conference realignment and all of it, okay? So he's reporting an actual fact that there was a presentation of a 2014 college football playoff. That would suck so bad. Once again, though, that helps you. It helps LSU in a major way. It does. And while we wouldn't make that field this year, we would make it for certain almost every season. And once again, it would come down to how the format would look. Okay, the SEC likes 16. If the Big Ten is presenting 24, That's obviously a bigger story than what we have going on. Okay. Here's a super chat from Porter the Goat. Before I state what I know, my threads have a tendency to get whacked in the past. Okay. Porter says Knox to Uhai is a real thing with him enrolling after Thanksgiving break as an NIL offer was presented to the fam earlier today. Okay. So let's talk about the Uhai thing. I touched on it a little bit earlier. And part of me feels strange talking about a 2028 recruit. Now, once again, we're in the class of 2026 with this senior class. 2027 means you're a high school junior. Not to my understanding. Let me make a gazillion percent certain here. He is 2028, so he's a high school sophomore. All right. So the first thing is, there was a national recruiting reporter that interviewed Knox not too long ago, trying to get info as far as his dad, where his dad, and what he's going to do regarding his next job. And it was met with a lot of criticism. It's always strange talking about a high school sophomore. Okay, it just is. But this is relevant. I have also heard about the Uhai and the enrollment and all of that. I do also want to bring up, though, that his situation in Oxford is really good with his high school team. But there is something to, and for those that don't know, unless something has totally changed, true story. I used to work as a semi-consultant for a Uhai football player, okay? That was a job that I had in college. And I didn't work for the school, but I worked for a player's parent. And they had me film his games so they could have their own personal film to watch. And, you know, he knew that I had some ball knowledge and I watched from afar. So I would send him notes from what I was seeing just to have an extra eyes. I just had some extra eyes from sitting above. One of the best jobs, if not the best job I've ever had. And honestly, that job almost led me down the path of becoming a scout or a coach or something like that. And there's a piece of me that kind of wants to do that. And I loved it. I loved it. And the thing that always blew me away about that was when you went to Uhai games, it was astonishing to me how close they play their varsity games to the LSU indoor facility. It is truly insane that a high school exists on LSU's campus. Now, that's not out of the ordinary. There's plenty of high schools that are like that. Fayetteville High School is right next to the University of Arkansas, a stone's throw away. So it's not something unprecedented. But logistically, that would be pretty awesome if you're a head coach there. And there's just a lot of other things as far as convenience is concerned regarding Lane and all of that. But I would also be careful with that. I would. Okay. Okay, well, send me the full thread, Porter the Goat, because you did super chat to get that out there. But part of it is, like, as far as, like, newsy kind of things, you know, there is a lot of smoke with, like, the Uhai stuff. There is. So it's not like you're just totally off base about anything you might have said in that thread, okay? All right. Kiffin, Layla, Landry, Knox, and Sexton are currently at LSU looking over the contract, which should be finalized in the next 48 per Porter. Okay? So I think there's a Florida Gator in here causing a kerfuffle. It's hard for me to manage the chat while I am live. I love it, man. Shane, dude. I'll be honest. All right. It is easy for me to sit here and do a show. I have got to give Shane a lot of credit, even with him off the air. For him to actually do this is something truly fun about the current day and age in college football. And I know he's getting a lot of flack for doing what he did today. But I'm just sitting here giving you my thoughts, what I've read, what I've heard. He actually went and got the news for himself. He put eyes on everything. It's pretty impressive. It honestly is really impressive. Now, it is true. I was able to chase a plane down that had Coach Saban on it. And I got tipped off, ironically, by someone actually outside of the aviation industry that helped set it up. So I was able to go to the airport where the plane landed, and Nick graciously gave me his time. Okay. He gave me a good, I think it was 3 to 5 minute interview. It was on a tight recruiting schedule, and I appreciate Coach Saban for that. There was no photos, there was no videos, but it did happen. I think I saw the audio somewhere. So it sounds like I'm just totally making that up, but it was one of the coolest experiences of my career. And it's fun when you do actual boots on the ground kind of journalism, okay? This was a lot more difficult, though, for Shane, right? Like, he was like, hey, look, I'm actually going to track this flight down and see if it happens, okay? Now, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. Brandon Walker says Lane Kiffin is staying at Ole Miss. Will be announced Monday or Tuesday of the Egg Bowl week. You know, I will say, rationally speaking, that makes the most sense. That makes the most sense. Now, I could see this from a gazillion miles away. This is how, if Lane decides to go to Florida or LSU, what will happen is the national media will fly in and say, how could Lane leave a college football playoff team in the middle of a run to go to LSU or Florida, a team that has a combined one college football playoff appearance? So how could Lane Kiffin do such a thing? Well, it's not Lane Kiffin's fault that he's in this position in totality. You have got to keep in mind that the college football calendar makes no sense at all. There's not a single piece of me that has ever conceded the simple fact that the college football playoff calendar is the dumbest thing that we have in sports. You mean to tell me that while the actual college football season is going on, you need to be more worried about building your next year's roster instead of a game that you could be playing of serious importance in the month of December. But that is where we are right now. Okay. Now, it is a little bit easier to deal with this because so many schools have adjusted in getting a deeper personnel department with general managers and all of that. But it's still one of those things where it doesn't make any sense. So with there being a single portal window now, things have got to start moving. And I also want to defend, even though it looked like I publicly called out a Florida reporter by the name of Dan. I think his name is Dan Thompson. I know he was making jokes the other day that he looks like Nate Bargatze, who's a comedian who I respect dearly. And check out some of Nate's openers. I'm friends with some of them. Mike James is a really funny guy. But so this guy said that there could be some serious movement as far as Lane to Florida. Or he was insinuating that on Twitter. And I got passed around a lot. And then following the Ole Miss and Florida game, he kind of backtracked on it. And the only thing that made me mad was he didn't give more specificity. So I publicly said, hey, I will Venmo you $50 right now if you were to report what you actually heard that was going to happen on Sunday. And I don't know if he saw it or if he didn't see it. I'm sure he saw it. You know, when you're in the middle of something like that, you're seeing every last little message. But I'm super low on the totem pole when it comes to college football. I get it. But I really would have sent him, Venmoed him $50. Whatever he thought was going to happen that he needed to backtrack. Because things do change. Right? Things really, really, really do change. You know, we will never a gazillion percent know if Lincoln Riley was even considering LSU many a moons ago. We won't. There were some reporters out there that said Lincoln Riley was going to LSU. And, you know, it didn't happen. But they very well could have been right, and things change. College football is a different animal when it comes to coaching searches because there are so many different factors that go into it. NFL head coaching searches are very different. The schedule is way more structured. There are fewer variables when it comes to that. And the same is true for NBA head coaching searches and different types of coaching searches. College football head coaching searches are so different, okay? Lane Kiffin, LSU Kiffin, done deal. Says Jordan's Ole Miss contact. I do think sometimes in a complex situation, I go back to Occam's razor, which is what is the simplest solution to a very complex problem, which is what we are in right now. I know we have a bunch of people joining in. It says here there's 1,500 people in here right now. My YouTube says it's like 250. It goes up and down. Whatever. However many of you are watching this right now. So, you know, this is a complex situation, right? There's three different schools that all make a lot of sense, with Lane's connections to the state of Florida and Lane's connections to LSU, which, you know, there are some. And then, of course, Lane being at Ole Miss. Sometimes, though, when things get this complex, the simplest thing for Lane to do would be to stay at Ole Miss, even if it is just a little less money. I have heard that Ole Miss has offered him Kirby money. The simplest thing for him to do would be to stay. So I don't know. The more I've talked about it, and you know, it's part of it when you're live and things change and all of that. You know, a little bit earlier, I felt it was 50% LSU, 25 Ole Miss, 25 Florida. You know, the more I just personally, logically, to my gut think of things, it's, you start saying, man, dude, could you really leave for a permanent rival now in the 9-game conference schedule before your team goes into a college football playoff? Which, by the way, you yourself did not tour either one of these cities. Do you really think Lane is going to do it? I don't know. I kind of want to change that prediction to like 33-33-33, but that would be Lane. So we'll see. Okay. Kiffin will go to Arkansas. Oh, man. Don't get the Arkansans on about Lane Kiffin. Do not get them going on that. I will tell you, when that was going down, Arkansans really thought Lane was going there. Okay. One of my top Arkansas guys told me, hey, Lane is going to Arkansas. Okay. And, you know, there's a piece of me that started to believe it. I was on KTBS Channel 3 earlier this week, and I was on with my buddy Daniel Brown, who had actually just started at KTBS Channel 3, and his bosses gave me an opportunity to do a report from Tiger Stadium after 2019 LSU and Arkansas. Okay, so KTBS Channel 3 is in North Louisiana, and they cover South Arkansas as well. So I'm like, hey, here's a guy that covers LSU, understands the lay of the land at Arkansas, and I could pull up the report now. It's on YouTube, and I predicted that Sam Pittman is going to be the next guy. All right, some of that was, you know, tea leaves and all of that, and some of that was just, you know, it made sense, right? So I was not well received after giving that report. But, you know, it happened. Part of that was a guess. As with a lot of these things, it's a guess unless you gazillion percent have it. And honestly, every single report, even if the coach himself is texting you, hey, this is what I'm going to do, I go back to what friend of the channel, Daily Joy, said earlier today. Nothing is true until ink is to paper. But I do want to point out that Arkansas was used, all right? And it's not necessarily Lane using Arkansas as it is Jimmy Sexton doing it. All right. So this got passed around. It was just something stupid. I was stopped at a gas station. And I tweeted this out earlier, and I want you in the chat, just for a nice little stress reliever, where would you have taken Lane Kiffin's family to dinner in Baton Rouge? Okay, so our boots on the ground reporter, Shane, who joined us a little bit earlier from All Things Go, say that the family indeed went to Stabs. I have never been to Stabs. Okay. Zara, thank you for the super chat. We appreciate you. Where would you have taken Lane Kiffin, well, his family, to dinner? Okay. Andy says Outback Steakhouse, speak of the devil. Daily Joy would have said the back room of Phil's. And she says, if you know, you know. Okay. So what does she mean by the back room of Phil's? So there is an Oyster House in Baton Rouge on Perkins called Phil's Oyster House. It's a great place. It's my wife's favorite restaurant. And they have my favorite arguably my favorite. I like them all, basically. I just charbroiled oysters. It's my thing. But they're buffalo oysters with blue cheese crumbles. Holy crap. But Phil's does have a lot of celebrities that go there. A lot. And there is some lore about the back room of Phil's Oyster House. Danny Girl says, anywhere but the supper club. Stan says, get a snack from the blue store. Stan also says, take the kid to Empire Wings. I have never been to Empire Wings. So here's my thing with Stan's. You would take them to get fried chicken, and then you would take them to get more chicken. But Empire Wings might be that fire. I don't know. True story. I met the owner of Billy's Boudin today. And Billy's is my favorite restaurant in Louisiana. Dinner at Pyrene's. And then the butter cake at the supper club. There's a lot of you that said, don't take him to the supper club. Eric says, Building 5. I know where that is, across from Bet R. Pyrene's, which is also kind of close to there. Supper Club, Rev Copies, Coffee, Geno's. I will tell you, there are quite a few recruiting visits that happen at Geno's. I know. I know that for a gazillion percent fact. And then Elsie's. I've never been to Elsie's. Tony Tubat says Ruth, Chris, maybe even Stab. And he was right. Stab's is where they did go. Adam says Waffle House. Patrick says Ruffino's. Okay. Okay. Out of all the obnoxious things, I'm about to block you anyway because you're a Florida fan and you guys deserve to be blocked. Kiffin is a yoga guy. LSU is not a yoga place. Boy, do I have some news for you. I don't know if Baton Rouge is a true yoga city, but you would think it was yoga capital of the world with how many women that rock the yoga pants. Okay, now men might rock the yoga pants. I don't know. And even if they did, I wouldn't look. But it's hard to go anywhere in Baton Rouge where you don't see women in yoga pants. It is probably the highest yoga pant per capita city in the world. So Lane would fit right in. Now, I don't know the chat's opinion of the yoga pant phenomena in Baton Rouge. Let's go to Travers. Auntie's, to my aunt's PHL house where I do my show. So I do my show from two different locations in Baton Rouge. I do it one for my uncle's house, Uncle Cliff, and then I do it from Aunt TT's house as well. I will guarantee you Aunt TT will make food better than any single human being in the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I'll put that on everything. For some of that Cajun pasta. So the funny thing is, she did make me a Cajun pasta, but so did my uncle. I had two different versions of Cajun pasta, and they were both equally elite. Josh Innes, talented radio host, says Outback on Acadian. Jay says they all go to the supper club. Interesting. Or the secret room, Cheryl says, at Phil's Oyster Bar. Yes, there is a secret room. What about Mansoor's? I've never been to Louisiana Land Yap. Zach Rome, friend of the show. Jack's Seafood off Plank Road. Or Mike Anderson's. Remember Mike Anderson? I was a little shocked that Mike Anderson's didn't get a higher, I guess you could say, a higher volume of answers here, because Mike Anderson's is where Joe Burrow had his crawfish meal of Coach Orgeron lore. Blue Stores. Smalls Sliders. Hallelujah Crab at Jubin's. There we go. Supper Club VIP. Powerade Supper Club. American Market. American Market got a lot of love. I've not been to Tsunami in forever. Popeyes. I might actually go to Tsunami's next time. Gaddy's Pizza. Let's go, Steve. Gaddy's Pizza. Whiskey Bay says Roberto's. Look at that, dude. That's friend of the show, Dr. Rat. That's his favorite place. Zippy's, yeah, that's definitely top five for me. Zippy's, I'm serious, is a top five Baton Rouge restaurant for me. Well, it's not Cajun. So what? You will not find a better daiquiri in Baton Rouge than Zippy's. TJ Ribs. Okay. Cane's. Louie's. Supper Club. Blue Store. Blue Store got a lot of love. Is Blue Store the best fried chicken, though, in Baton Rouge? I would say it's up there. I mean, I had it the last time. Rags. I know this guy. Powerade or Ruffino's. Reggie. I've never met Reggie Chapman, but he's a fellow Manship grad. The original Canes. Drive west to Henderson, Louisiana. Then go to Pat's or Crawfish Town. That is exactly, Willie, what millionaires want to do when they take a private jet to Baton Rouge. Yeah, we're going to drive a pretty long ass way. But the food might be fire. Smoke Bayou. The Five. Does the Five still have the omelet bar? Unit 406. Okay. Van got tagged in it. Okay. A lot of you are saying, don't go to Supper Club. Why is Supper Club taking so many strays today? But I wanted to get to every single one of these. So, Jordan, you've been to Roberto's? I've never been to Roberto's. Dr. Rat, though, loves Roberto's. Love me some Dr. Rat. I need to get Dr. Rat on here. Middendorf's? Okay, I think a lot of you are saying Supper Club. Drunk Vigo says it's the LSU Snow Bunnies rocking the Lululemon pants. But that's where you're wrong, Drunk. Is it true that there are quite a few Snow Bunnies that rock the Lululemon pants? Sure. But I've seen every flavor you could get at Baskin-Robbins rocking the Lululemon pants. Big, small, black, white, Asian, Caucasian, Malaysian, Smurf, Ogre. My wife wears them all the time. But you can't go anywhere without seeing yoga pants everywhere. Drago's, Superior Grill. But wear whatever you want to wear. I'm not policing anything. It's just people saying that LSU is not a good yoga city. Apparently everybody does yoga, but they have all these yoga pants. So yeah, there was the Sarah Williams recruitment. And there was also the Dominic Williams recruitment, the Oklahoma defensive tackle, who chose Oklahoma over us. And Sarah Williams is a basketball superstar. She chose UConn over LSU. Okay. Yeah, it was. So there you go. All right, y'all. Thank you guys so much. Fun emergency live stream. We will be back tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Hopefully we have next LSU head coach Lane Kiffin. Lane, you have an open invite to join the channel. Why not? Okay. Okay. One final thing that is at play is that obviously Layla Kiffin is involved in this. So who is Layla Kiffin? Well, she is Lane Kiffin's ex-wife. Okay, so you know what is the connection with the ex-wife and all of that? Well, you know, I am not divorced. My wife's parents are not divorced, and my parents aren't divorced either. But I know quite a few people that are divorced. We all do. And, you know, joint parenting is something that is that happens. I would hope joint parenting happens everywhere. And then obviously with a situation like this, joint parenting is involved. Now, I have read that they are back together, Layla and Lane. I don't know. I would say, though, that it is something that these two are reconciling, at least for this decision. So we'll see. Layla did go to Florida. All right, so she went to Florida, and, you know, I may or may not have known someone who was at Florida when she was there, okay? All of that aside, you know, many are saying, hey, since Layla went to Florida, she's going to push Lane to go in that direction. I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. What I would tell you, though, is that you very well could see a world where, you know, people point to that and it not really affect the decision at all. You know, there's so many little micro things that people are pointing to. Hey, this is playing a role into Lane's decision, when there's probably a gazillion things spinning in that head, spinning in that man's head right now. So we'll see. Okay. So Chance knows a little more here. Layla's dad was a QB at Florida and is a graduate. We shall see. But I know this is being brought up a lot in Florida circles, that Layla is a Florida grad and all these connections to Florida. I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. Damon says, I'd have to take Gino's into the strip club. Damon. That's for Rick Pitino, not Lane Kiffin. And I'm still of the belief that Rick Pitino should come replace Matt McMahon. But we're undefeated, so I can't really say anything about Matt McMahon right now. All right, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central, okay? Lane, please come to LSU. Please, please, please. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing Calzones. Big thanks to all our super chats. Decker became a YouTube member. Yusha Sourdough, JV Branton, Jed, Porter, Jordan, and Jordan. Big thanks to William with the super chat as well. And we'll see you guys tomorrow at 6. Let's go.